This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shemuel Aleph, Chapter 3. After reading about the stark contrast between the spiritual emptiness and decadence of the sons of Eli on one hand, and the spiritual growth and ascendance of Shemuel on the other, we now learn about a watershed moment in Jewish history, Shemuel's first prophetic experience, and really the beginning of his career as one of the greatest prophets in our entire history. Shemuel and Eli were both asleep at the temple complex. Clearly, this couldn't have been in one of the holy places in which one is not allowed to sleep. Most of the places in the courtyard of the temple of the Mishkan or the Beit HaMikdash, one is not even allowed to sit down, let alone sleep. But they were sleeping somewhere within the precincts of the Beit HaMikdash. And suddenly Shemuel hears a voice beckoning to him. He assumes it's Eli. Eli at this time was an elderly man. He was blind. He often needed help. And Shemuel assumed he was calling him for something, so Shemuel runs over to find out what's the matter. Eli tells him it was not him calling Shemuel, and he sends him back to sleep. This happens two more times. Finally, Eli realizes that Shemuel is not hearing his voice or having a bad dream. He is hearing Hashem calling to him in prophecy. Eli, knowing what to do, although he himself had never experienced prophecy, but being a Talmid Chacham, being a scholar of the Torah, knew what a prophet should do, he tells his young student to respond to the voice next time with an invitation to continue and to receive its message. Hashem informs Shemuel of the imminent destruction of the priestly house of Eli, including the untimely demise of the two sons of Eli. Hashem explains that Eli himself is worthy of this terrible punishment because he failed to intervene and did not prevent his children from desecrating Hashem's name. He put the honor and the feelings of his children ahead of the honor of Hashem. And the sin was so severe that there was nothing that could be done to atone for it or expiate it. The next morning, Shemuel is understandably hesitant to share this news with Eli, but Eli insists that he be told the complete truth. You get the impression that Eli probably suspected that Shemuel's nevuah's prophecy had to do in some way with the future of Eli's family and the heavenly decree against him. Shemuel divulges all the details of the communication that he received. He's honest, direct, and forthright. Eli, in his typical weak and passive fashion, accepts the judgment of Hashem upon himself and doesn't argue, but neither does he repent or otherwise seek to have the decree overturned. Eli simply is willing to accept the grim future that's been predicted for him as if it's something predetermined and predestined. With Shemuel's ascendance to the level of prophecy, the Jewish people are now in a position to be taught, inspired, and redeemed by a leader of the highest caliber. And we know from the book of Shofetim and from what we've learned that as soon as the Jewish people are ready to move forward and to progress, this is when Hashem places the events, the process in motion for that to happen. So now the old guard, the corrupt regime of the sons of Eli has to be removed. It's especially appropriate that the inaugural prophetic vision of Shemuel is itself a revelation about the radical transformations that are about to take place, the replacement of this very deeply entrenched and very defective, dysfunctional, corrupt, an ugly religious establishment with an enlightened and godly one. Shemuel is going to be the agent of that change insofar as he is going to take the reins of the Jewish people, but it's going to be Hashem's intervention that leads to the removal of those who are currently holding the Jewish people, back from genuine progress. One tragic element of the story is the weakness of Eli HaKohen. It's hard not to sympathize with him. In all respects, he seems to be a righteous and decent person, but he doesn't have the courage or the strength of conviction or character that's necessary to put a stop to the injustices that are being perpetrated right under his nose in the Mishkan. Moreover, Eli interprets the prophetic messages conveyed to him as if they are written in stone. They're fatalistic pronouncements that there's no way around. Normally, in Jewish tradition, we see communications from Hashem as Hashem's way of giving us an opportunity to learn from our mistakes, to rectify them before it's too late. Eli, on the other hand, just resigns himself to what he perceives as inevitable and unavoidable. And this is a sad aspect of the story. The rabbis note that in Shemuel's prophecy, he's told that the sins of the sons of Eli cannot be atoned for through sacrifice or meal offering. The rabbis say that this implies that there's another way they could have been atoned for, namely by Torah study and the giving of charity. What the rabbis mean to say is that there's no quick fix that can change God's mind. Doing more of the same, more sacrifices, more offerings, that's not what's going to change the direction of the sons of Eli or make them more worthy in God's eyes. That will simply reinforce their bad habits and their corruption. But study of Torah, giving of charity, genuine internal change that involves shifting the way we look at the world by learning new things, deepening our understanding and appreciation of Hashem's wisdom, improvement of character that is genuine and deep, this could have led them to a cancellation of the devastating decree. This could have been a revolutionary change that wouldn't have required the elimination of the sons of Eli or the cursing of the house of Eli, but in fact could have restored and saved the house of Eli from the imminent destruction. Sadly, rather than read between the lines of the prophecies and try to engage in or facilitate some kind of repentance on the part of his sons to avert the disastrous consequences, Eli is unwilling to do that. Instead, by his own choices and his own actions, he's the one who seals the finality of the prophetic warning, makes it irrevocable, makes it absolute. It's a literal example of a self-fulfilling prophecy where the power was in the hands of Eli to overturn the decree against his household, and he chose to sit back and allow it to happen.